God has four spheres, four realms, in which all of life is to be placed underneath his ownership.
Dr. Tony Evans talks about why the concept of stewardship affects every part of our lives.
Because he owns all.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Many Christians think stewardship is just about how much money you donate or how much time you volunteer. But Dr. Evans says there's much more to it than that. And today he'll stretch your concept of stewardship in some healthy new directions. Let's join him.
The concept of kingdom stewardship is simply the responsibility to protect and expand the resources that God has placed under our managerial care on his behalf. You and I are managers, caretakers. You are not, I am not, we are not owners of anything. The famous scripture that we're all aware of, naked you came into this world, and naked you will leave. That everything between birth and death is a loan, because you don't own it. And what we're trying to instill in you and me is a steward's mentality, a manager's mentality, not an owner's mentality. We live in a day when people are borrowing rules from the society that do not agree with the rules of the owner. They're spending an inordinate amount of time with talk shows, reality shows, better known as Babble by the Hour, where they are piggybacking off of the worldview of the society and expecting the owner to accept a change in the regulations and the rules. And so truth has been undermined. We have substituted it for no truth, my truth, Satan's truth, their truth, which inevitably means no truth. God has four spheres, four realms, covenantal stewardship realms, covenantal kingdom stewardship realms, in which all of life is to be placed underneath his ownership, because he owns all. It's an official agreement and arrangement. Psalm 128 is the summary of these four realms. It summarizes the four kingdom spheres for which you are a steward, and there is no area of your life that doesn't come under one of these four spheres. He starts off with your personal kingdom stewardship, your individual kingdom stewardship. Blessed is everyone, every individual, every person who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you shall eat of the fruit of your hand, you will be happy. It will go well with you. He starts off with you, everyone. So let's pretend you are the only one in the building right now, because he is now speaking to every one of you individually. Your responsibility as God's steward, my responsibility, if no one else was here, is to fear God. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. The question is, what does that mean? A synonym for fearing God is take God seriously. So if you want a synonym for what it means to fear God, it means to take God seriously as opposed to taking God casually. We all have electricity in our homes. You better take electricity seriously. We benefit from electricity. Our lights come on, our appliances work, because there's so much power in electricity. Folk want to use God who don't want to respect him. They want the benefits of eternity while they make independent decisions in time. And that's not taking God seriously. It's taking God casually. Far too many people, even Christians, have turned God into a spare tire. We want him in the vicinity in case life goes flat. So we go to the trunk then and we take out the spare while the flat tire is being repaired. But as soon as the flat tire is repaired, God is now removed and placed back into the trunk until things go flat again. But as long as things are not flat, we want him close, but in the trunk. Or others want to turn God into a slot machine. They want to pull the lever so they can hear the clinging of the blessing. Who do not want to recognize that he created us for a relationship and he wants to oversee us in a rule of ownership and therefore placing ourselves under his authority. He says that if you are serious about fearing me, then you walk in my ways. And he says, if I can get you to connect with me, to pursue me relationally and ruling, the two R's, you're pursuing a relationship and you're submitting to a rule under his kingdom, covenant, and authority. If you do those two things, proven by your walk, not by your talk, then you have positioned yourself in the place of favor. God is not against blessing. He's not against favor. He is against blessing and favor that's independent of relationship and obedience. He says, if you walk in my way, if you execute my will according to my word, then you'll see me show up. We have on the rooms over here motion detector lighting. A lot of folks were leaving electricity on, bills were getting high. So we put in some motion detector lighting in some of the rooms, which means when you walk in the room, the light comes on. When you walk out of the room, the light goes off, because we didn't want to waste electricity with people not using the room and leaving the lights on. So we put in motion detector lighting. Now the lights are in the room, the power is in the room, but they have been programmed not to express themselves until movement is detected. God's got a program. And his power is there, his light is there, but it's been programmed not to manifest itself until he sees some motion. That's why all throughout the Bible, before God would do something supernatural, he would tell the people to do something first. He would tell them, no, Moses, you hold out the rod. Moses, you tell the people to start marching toward the Red Sea. Joshua, you tell the priests to put their feet in the Jordan River. Martha, you better move the stone first, because you're not going to see nothing until I see some motion. So if you're serious about fearing God, if I am serious about fearing God, if we are serious about fearing God, it's got to be movement, not discussion alone. He then goes to the next category, the next sphere of life, the family. Verse 3, your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house, your children like olive plants around your table. That's the family. We're living in a day of the dumbing down of the family. The family is not a human creation. The Bible says God owns the family. Says marriage is a covenant. God claims to own the family. So all this talk about redefining the family, and what's worse about the talk is folk who name Christ who are buying in to the talk. He says, your wife shall be a fruitful vine within your house. He talks about the stewardship of the husband here. And his stewardship is to make his wife as productive as she can be. Because he says a fruitful vine, a vine is a vineyard. The man is to steward his family, is to oversee the well-being of his family, he says. And what this means is that you just can't walk out because you're mad. You just can't decide I want a divorce because you're not happy right now. Who said you're supposed to be happy to begin with? He says, if you fear me, I'll make you happy. But ladies have a responsibility too. Says she shall be a fruitful vine in your house. That her commitment to facilitating the home and honoring the one who is to make her a fruitful vine. Says she is committed to her home, committed to her kids, because she is within the home and she hasn't abandoned it. Says your children will be like olive plants around your table. So not olive trees, olive plants. It takes 15 years, but if you nurture it right, it'll produce olives for 2,000 years. Over in Israel, there are 2,000-year-old olive trees still pumping out olives. You know why? Because their roots run deep. We have a generation of unrooted kids because parents haven't been there long enough to tender to the roots. It says your children shall become olive plants, and guess where? Around your table. The stewardship of the table, to use that table time, not just for eating, but for leading and ministering and guiding and correcting and mentoring around the table. But we're not around the table, we're in front of the television. We're not around the table, we're on the iPad and the iPhone and the smart devices. We're not around the table. And so the culture is getting more investment into our children than we are. And as a result, we've got children who have gone crazy because the culture has more impact on them than we do. And now they can get the culture without you if they have a phone. They can get it in all shapes, all colors, and all sizes.
Dr. Evans will move on to the next sphere of stewardship when he comes back in a moment with more of today's message. First, though, I want to let you know about his brand new book that builds on what we're learning in our current series. It's called Kingdom Stewardship, an exploration of the burdens we'll drop and the blessings we'll receive once we realize that God owns everything, not just our money. You can get this life-changing book today as our gift to you when you come alongside the Urban Alternative and make a contribution toward Tony's ministry. In fact, if we hear from you right away, we'll send it to you along with all 12 messages in our current series, also called Kingdom Stewardship, the Companion Study Guide, and a DVD packed with custom Bible study sessions taught by Tony. You'll want to share it with your church or small group. This is a limited-time offer, so be sure to visit us at tonyevans.org right away and make the arrangements. Or call our 24-hour resource center at 1-800-800-3222. I'll repeat our contact information after Tony brings us part two of today's lesson. Let's join him.
So he goes from the individual to the family. Then he goes from the family to the church. Verse 5, the Lord bless you from Zion. Zion is a lofty word. It was God's holy dwelling places, Mount Zion, the city of Zion, the temple called Zion. All three are called Zion, mountain, city, temple. The temple was a place of worship. Worship is the recognition of God for who he is, what he has done, and what you're trusting him to do. It's the celebration of God. It was the job of Zion to set the standards that were to infiltrate the culture. Zion was to set the agenda for the culture, starting with the recognition of the true God. 2 Chronicles 15, 3-6 says, in those days, there was no true God, no teaching priest, no law. Conflict individually, conflict at home, conflict nation to nation, conflict city to city. It was conflict because God had not been presented properly in the culture. Today, we're living in the dumbing down of God. And the reason we're living in the dumbing down of God is the dumbing down of the church. That because we have reduced him in here, they have reduced him out there. Gatherings like this is like a huddle in a football game. But 100,000 people don't pay all that money to watch 11 grown men bend over. They want to see what difference the huddle makes. Having huddled, can you now score? What are you going to do about 11 other men on the other side of the ball daring you to go public in your private conversation? In every football game, there's only about 17 minutes of actual contact. But those 17 minutes are in a one-hour game. So every game is slated for 1 hour, but you're only going to see 17 minutes worth of action. But you got to sit 3 hours to watch 1 hour to see 17 minutes. If you drive to the game, it's going to take you a couple of hours to get there because you got to drive through all the traffic. You got to park. You got to walk. So that's 5 hours to sit 3 hours to watch 1 hour to see 17 minutes. Then you got to drive home. You got to walk to the car. You got to work through the traffic. Now that's about 7 hours to sit for 3 hours, to watch 1 hour, to see 17 minutes. And then on top of that, they're going to tithe to get in to the service. And going to not complain about the cost and going to not say, oh, all the Cowboys want is my money. But I have a question. Help me out here. What have the Cowboys done for you lately? But God gets you up every day. He provides all of your needs. He satisfies many of your desires. And you're going to tell me worship is that much of a problem? People will not even see rain. They will hear it's going to rain. And decide I'm not going to worship, but they're going to go to work tomorrow borrowing from God's air, oxygen, and provision. But when they understood Zion, they understood that God, see, the temple and the tabernacle, later the temple, were set up in the middle. The 12 tribes were around the tabernacle because God wanted the tabernacle, the place of worship, to be the center of life of his people. And as a result, the weak church has provided. We live in the Mac Christian generation. Folk want drive-through Christianity. They only measure church by the level of convenience. Don't ask me to serve. Don't ask me to give up some time. Don't ask me to give up some energy. Just take care of me, meet my needs, pray for me, heal me, counsel me, marry me, bury me. Just, I told you before when I played football, I come home, say real loud when I walked in the house, oh boy, I'm so tired. I think I want to go upstairs and rest after 2 days because you'd be totally tired after 2 days practicing. And I come out, oh, I'm so tired. What I was saying was, Mama, don't ask me to do nothing. I'm tired. To which my mother would say back then, you better get yourself up in this kitchen and do the work that I told you to do. I said, but Mama, I'm tired. She said, did you just tell me you were tired? She said, boy, let me explain something. If tiredness were a criteria of function, your breakfast wouldn't be made, your lunch wouldn't be made, your clothes wouldn't be clean. In other words, certain things just demand responsibility. You can't get all the benefits in the house and not bring anything to the house. The Lord bless you from Zion. The Lord give you a blessing. See, this is critical because there are certain blessings that come because of your attachment to Zion that do not come simply because you're a Christian. Because if you're not attached, the Bible knows nothing of an unchurched believer because God wants you investing in the lives of his other saints, not just asking God to invest in you. That's why they're all the one another's in Scripture. But we live in a day of spiritual hitchhikers, everybody thumbing for a free ride. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22 and 23, when you come to worship, you come to Zion, where the presence of God is in the church collectively if the church is operating under his stewardship and governing kingdom authority. The fourth and final category, and may you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Indeed, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. Now he's just gone to the city and the country, Jerusalem and Israel. That's the city, that's the country, to the nation. Now, it doesn't take a genius to see that we are a nation in turmoil. Political turmoil, social turmoil, racial turmoil, gender turmoil, economic turmoil. We are in a hot mess. And when God describes it in 2 Chronicles 15, 3-6, he says, you're in a hot mess because I'm not in the vicinity. You're in a hot mess because I've been excluded from your lives, excluded from your schools, excluded from your churches even. I've been excluded from your families. I've been excluded, and my presence is no longer being felt. Then that vacuum is filled by conflict and chaos. And so the challenge today is for Christians who are disciples of Jesus Christ to go public with their faith. To no longer be secret agent Christians, spiritual CIA representatives. If you were accused of being a follower of Jesus Christ, not a believer in God, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a follower of Jesus Christ. If you were accused of being a follower of Jesus Christ, would there be enough evidence to convict you, or would you be found innocent of all charges? Because there's not enough Christianity around you to see it. He says, but notice the phrase, prosperity to the city. The city is going to be better off. Jeremiah 29:7, seek the welfare of the city in which I have placed you, for in its well-being you will have well-being. In other words, the place should be a better place to live if the church is doing its job. There should be community impact. No matter how good you look as a bowler, if the pins are still standing, you're a failure. You can look as sadiddy and as sophisticated as you want to, but if the pins are still standing, you have failed. Because gutter balls don't matter. So you can look Christian, I can look Christian, we can look Christian all we want, but if there's no impact, if pins aren't falling, if we can't see people being saved and environments being impacted and worldviews being shaped by whatever sphere of stewardship God has placed under our authority, then we are not managing what he has handed to us well. See, the world loves this morning. Let me tell you why the world loves this morning. Because we in church. And they don't mind you being in church. Because in church, you're not making any difference. I mean, you're worshiping, you're learning, we're teaching, but you're not a threat in here to them. But it's when you go back to the world of your occupation, your career, your gifts, your education, and you go back as a representative of Jesus Christ, now all of a sudden you have become a threat to the society. Because you have taken a stand for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Because guess what? You're his rep. You're his steward. You're his manager. And he told you to go and be salt and light. Not salt of the shaker and light of the bulb. A light of the world and salt of the earth. So it is absolutely critical that you look at all of life as a stewardship. You and I are stewards. Not owners. There are four spheres of your stewardship. Your individual life must now be ruled by God, which means you will check out his decision in order for you to make your decision. Because let me explain something. There's some things God can't do. God can't do everything. He can't lie. He can't contradict his essential nature. So there's some things God can't do. Let me tell you something else God can't do. He can't be second. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So if you're taking God seriously, that means you're going to find out what he wants on the front end and then adjust your footsteps to that. And where you haven't done it, you're going to repent and say, God, I've been going the wrong way, but now I'm turning to move in your way so that you can now move with me. In whatever area you need to repent. Then the family. You fight for the family. You go to war for your children, for the marriage, for whatever your family situation happens to be. You fight for it. And then you become part of God's broader spiritual family. Not just sit, soak, and sour, but engaged in making the church as strong, as impactful as it can be collectively. And then we go public. We let the world know, the society know, our community know that Jesus Christ is Lord. We're not ashamed of the gospel. We're not ashamed of our faith. And we do it with love, but we do it with clarity, because a charge to keep I have, and a God to glorify. I'm a steward of individual life, family life, church life, and for the well-being of the community in which I live, work, play.
So how do we measure our effectiveness in these various spheres of influence? Dr. Evans will come back with a closing thought about that in just a moment. Stay with us.
Are your hands holding tightly to a self-made list, or are they open to let God in to help guide you? Kingdom stewardship is how you manage all that God has given you, your time, talents, and treasures. Dr. Tony Evans' latest release, in partnership with Focus on the Family, will inspire you to see God's greater plan for you. This special, exclusive bundle offer includes a copy of Dr. Evans' newest book, Kingdom Stewardship, a study guide, and a DVD, so you can learn on your own or with a small group. It's totally up to you. Get your exclusive, limited-time bundle of Kingdom Stewardship resources today at tonyevans.org.
As I mentioned earlier, you'll also get the 12 full-length CDs in Tony's current series. So don't miss out on this special Kingdom Stewardship Resource Bundle. For a limited time, it's yours with our thanks when you make a contribution to help us keep Tony's teaching on this station. Time is running out, so don't wait. Visit us today at tonyevans.org or call our Resource Center at 1-800-800-3222. It's open day and night. That's 1-800-800-3222. One final item, a big thank you from Tony and his entire family for all your expressions of love and support over the last few weeks after the passing of his wife, Lois. Lois played a vital role in the leadership of the Urban Alternative, while also carrying out her vision for ministry to pastors' wives and, of course, her ministry at Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship. Tony wants you to know that your cards, flowers, letters, and gifts have been especially meaningful and encouraging. But grief is a long, difficult process, so your continued prayers for the family are still needed and much appreciated. The old saying goes, first things first. Seems obvious, right? Well, next week, Dr. Evans will explain why many people ignore that obvious piece of advice when it comes to their relationship with God and what it costs us when we do. Right now, though, he's back with a closing illustration.
In television and movies, they show you previews of coming attractions. These are the hot clips of the upcoming show. Fight scene, love scene, chase scene. The hot scenes. And they stitch them together because they want you to look at the movie. So they stitch all the hot scenes together. Now you look at it, it may have been a terrible movie, but you wouldn't know that by the clips. Because the clips are one hot scene right after another hot scene. One day there's a big show coming to town. God is the producer, the Holy Spirit is the director, Jesus is the superstar, and it will be a worldwide production. It's when the kingdom of God comes down to this earth. But in the meantime, he's left you, me and us here as previews of coming attractions. We're supposed to be the hot clips of the upcoming show. People are supposed to see the clip of your life, the clip of your family, the clip of this church, the clip of your influence in the society. And they should say, that clip is hot. That clip is hot. That clip is hot. So that they now say, where can I buy a ticket? And that's when we can tell them, you don't have to buy a ticket. The price has already been paid.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.